As if the cost of higher ed weren't enough, business graduates face another expense as soon as they start seeking employment: their wardrobe. While dress codes have relaxed considerably through the years in some sectors, there are still some that demand professional attire for men and women in the office. The need to help our graduates be properly clothed is the mission of one initiative in the Engler College of Business. Roll the intro.
You're listening to Buff Speak, the official podcast of the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. I am Dr. Nick Gerlich, your host, as we meet up with the thought leaders making an impact today.
Clothes, especially quality professional clothes, are expensive, and not everyone can afford to purchase them while at the same time handling tuition and normal living conditions. But you have to have them for interview season and beyond into your career. The clothing closet in the Engler College of Business is an ongoing project of the student chapter of SHRM, or Society for Human Resource Management. My guests today are Dr. Raul Shohan, Associate Professor of Management and McCray Professor of Business, and Dr. Jillian Yarbrough, Assistant Dean, Clinical Assistant, and Virginia Engler Professor of Business Management, who oversee these efforts. Welcome to the show, my friends. Thanks for being here. What is the clothing closet, and when was it launched?
So the clothing closet has been around for, I believe, about 10 years now. And it was actually started by my predecessors. We used to have a faculty member here named Allison Berry, and she and another colleague, Emily Hammer, were kind of instrumental in kickstarting this. And, you know, as HR professionals, it's just common that students at some point will have to get to the point where they're interviewing. And in order to interview effectively, you have to look the part to some extent, some degree of professionalism externally. And it's no surprise that students have limited funds, especially with half of our students being first generation college students. And many of them work at least part time. And so acquiring these clothing can be quite pricey. And I think that's what kind of what kickstarted that idea. And once we put the word out there that we were accepting professional clothing donations with the intention of giving it away to students for free, the sheer amount of donations in terms of quantity was beyond anything that we could have imagined or handled.
So that was the motivation, then, simply to help students be able to bridge the gap from the reality of their pocketbook to the other reality of interviewing and getting a job. And that's a pretty noble motivation right there.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you know, the quantity was so massive that it led to logistical issues where I believe at one point, you know, Dr. Berry was storing the clothing in her own private garage at home because there just simply was not enough real estate to put this. And that actually kind of led to us getting recognized by the chancellor of the A&M system, who heard about this initiative, and they were generous enough to donate a stipend towards the clothing closet. It was anywhere between $5,000 and $10,000, as well as a designated permanent storage space for the clothing.
So where is it located now?
It's in the basement of the JBK. It's pretty hard to miss. There's a big sign on the door that says SHRM Professional Clothing Closet.
And do you have like set hours of operation, or is it just at special times?
No, it's essentially open technically 24/7. You can either connect with myself or Dr. Yarbrough or anyone in the Office of Professional Development, formerly known as Career Services. I forget what their full title is, so if I fudge that, I apologize. But they've actually been very, very helpful and instrumental with regard to maintaining the common logistics associated with letting students gain access to the closet whenever Dr. Yarbrough and I are unavailable.
Dr. Yarbrough, do you have any idea how many items are held in inventory right now?
It's packed. It's full. But I also know that we're always accepting donations and that it will be emptied. It gets emptied by May, it's empty. Almost everything is used by students. But we have racks and racks right now, right?
Yeah. Actually, the Engler College of Business partnered with Career Services to, that stipend that the chancellor gave us, we've been using that over the last 10 years. So it was diminished. And I'll explain kind of what we used it on as we progress into this this podcast. But we very recently partnered with their office to actually create permanent racks lining the walls. And so it actually looks almost like a department store now, whereas before they were on mobile racks, which held up quite well, but it was quite crowded in there.
So you've got all sizes, styles, and so forth, wide variety, but always changing, I presume, right?
Yeah, perpetually changing, and truly we do have a large variety of options for both men and women. And again, the Office of Professional Development, they've been extraordinarily helpful with regard to sorting it and organizing it. So it's very easy for students to kind of go towards their section of sizes. The donations we receive, they obviously vary in size and format and quality. But most of them almost are exclusively very high quality. It's amazing. In fact, Jillian, if you don't mind telling them about the most recent one that came across on last Friday.
Yes. So we had an alumni, Larry Canada. He donated, I believe it may have been 30 plus suits, pants, in addition, pants, shirts, belts, ties. He even donated what do you call them? The to help with the collar.
Stays.
Yeah, he even donated those. And his interest was in supporting students and being successful. And that required at least two carloads of, it took a team of three people to take the size of donation that he gave. And that's not unusual. I have had bank presidents who have cleared out their entire closets and donated racks and racks and racks of clothes. WT has the best alumni who are concerned and care that our students, our outstanding students have the ability to show up in an outstanding suit.
So it's not just clothing, it's shoes and all the other accessories too, because those aren't cheap either. A good pair of shoes can easily set you back a couple hundred dollars if you want to get nice ones. So that's great. You can be dressed from basically head to toe. Courtesy of the clothing closet. That's great. Now, okay, who's eligible for this? And is this university-wide or College of Business-wide?
So, Jillian and I try to prioritize College of Business students wherever possible, especially if they're reaching out to either her or I directly, which is generally the case with individuals who do reach out to us. It's either in terms of donations or it's COB students that have been referred to us. But ultimately, this is open to any student university-wide. And again, partnering with the office downstairs has really allowed that message to be conveyed more clearly, that it is not a COB exclusive thing. So we didn't want to hoard the mission here, because we want any student across the university to have access to professional clothing, regardless of what field that they're going into.
So you've made it sound like it's available year round then, which is great, and not just like interview season, like you might think in the spring semester to accommodate all the people graduating in May. It could happen anytime then, right?
Yes, absolutely correct. It truly is open year-round. The Office of Professional Development, they prefer that you schedule an appointment so that they can ensure that they have someone available to walk you down there and help you select clothing and whatnot. But Dr. Arbor and I, we have pretty much an open door policy. Students just contact us. We set up a time and we'll walk them down there and we'll help them get what they need.
So is it need-based to the extent that you're checking bank account numbers, or is it just on the honor system?
It is truly on the honor system.
And how many students do you think you have helped along the way? This is 10 years now. The numbers must be large.
Yes, the numbers are quite large. I think it is safe to say that we must be nearing somewhere in the realm of 7,000 to 8,000 students. Yeah. I mean, we're talking several hundreds every year. So you compound that over over a decade or so. And, you know, we're looking at a minimum of 5,000 students that have benefited from the system.
Do you think any of the clothes that have been distributed through the clothing closet to students in need found their way back to be given to a second generation of students? Has that happened yet?
You know, that's a very good question. I am not aware of that directly, but I could certainly see that occurring. But no, I'm not aware of that having directly, though I hope that is something that they'll pass it forward.
I would say indirectly, though, because a spirit of kindness and a spirit of helping Buffs, I think, creates a culture where we help one another. And the students are amazing. They appreciate and recognize that this is unusual. They're very thankful. And I imagine they are all giving back.
Well, if the clothes aren't threadbare, makes sense to keep paying it forward, right?
Indeed.
And since this was a College of Business initiative, how has the COB assisted you in this endeavor?
Yeah, so the College of Business has been extraordinarily helpful because anything that we need beyond that initial stipend was given to us can be charged to our local Society for Human Resource Management COB student organization account. And as far as I'm aware, we haven't really had any requests turned down. And so I think the college has been very supportive of this program.
So what types of clothes do you offer? Is it strictly like formal, traditional business attire, like for a man, a matching jacket and slacks? Or is it like business casual, you know, like a blazer and khaki trousers or something like that?
We have, I mean, a huge variety of lovely clothes. We have everything from jeans. We have slacks for women. We have men and women clothes and lots of varieties of sizes. But we certainly, even in the last week, received a large donation of jeans. So we have everything from casual to, I think, very formal.
Yeah,
business
polos are not uncommon. In fact, I think once in a while at the bookstore or university bookstore, we'll just put a ton of unsold polos down there that have the WT branded logo and all. And I think that's considered business casual here in the Panhandle to wear a nice polo and nice jeans. And so we certainly will accept those. And we try to keep them during the sorting process.
Well, office culture has certainly changed a lot in the last few decades. And whereas pretty much everybody used to be buttoned down literally and figuratively, well, a lot of offices aren't that way anymore. I mean, even those that are buttoned down, they probably have a business casual Friday, for example. And then other sectors are just always laid back. And, you know, you wonder if they even have any nice clothes, right? I mean, they just come to work and do their thing. And they don't necessarily need to have a necktie. So it's good that you've got everything, all the different levels of professional attire covered here. What I want to hear, though, is do you have any good stories of success? Because that's the kind of stuff that really makes an effort like this stand out, when you can brag about something good that happened.
Yeah. So oftentimes students will come to us because they have an interview coming up or they have a job lined up and they need clothing for either the interview or just to have something to wear at their new job. And we do hear feedback from them about how it really was instrumentally helpful for them to kickstart their careers or getting that job because of, you know, the options that we provided to them that would have been very challenging for them otherwise, both financially and in terms of knowing what is a proper fit, right? Because oftentimes professional clothing comes in so many different sizes. And if you don't have any experience in the professional world, it's outside of YouTube and Google, it might be quite challenging to find something that actually looks good on you. That's not two sizes too big. And so those are the kinds of the services that we aim to provide as well, is to give some anecdotal feedback with regard to, you know, well, this one looks a little large, let's try this size or something along those lines.
I mean, do you have someone there with a tape measure?
We do have a mirror down
and
there.
And chalk.
Yes, yes. You know, Jillian and I, we do a giveaway event And again, we partner with the office downstairs, and Marisa Chrysostomo helps us as well, logging who's taking what and what's being taken out and who all is visiting. We scan their Buff IDs, things of that nature, just to keep track of the logistics of that. And in that time, you know, students will ask us like, hey, does this look okay? And, you know, we'll give them feedback. And generally, by no means are we subject matter experts, I don't think. I've never worked at the men's warehouse in a past life or anything of the sort. But, you know, I think that Jillian and I aim to dress professionally. And so based on our limited personal expertise, we can give anecdotal feedback that the students very much appreciate, and they usually end up with a better fit for them.
So do you think there are any students who got the job not just because they were brilliant in their own right, but they also look the part because of you?
I would say, you know, Dr. Chrysostomo does help us a great deal. And one of the things that she does very well is help identify a good fit, a good look. And one of the things I've noticed is the confidence. The students often will come to us, they've got an interview. That's high stress, high stakes. And what can we do to help them? And they're deserving, they're outstanding students. And you wouldn't want a shirt or a skirt to be your stumbling block for an outstanding student. And so with us, you know, we try to provide advice, and then Dr. Chrysostomo also provides advice, and they'll come in maybe a little hesitant. I don't even know if their clothing's going to be right. I don't know about this interview. And a lot of times as we're helping them pick their clothes, we're also talking about, well, where are you going to interview? What type of job are you looking for? You know, what is the role that you're in? And we're able to provide a little bit of detail or feedback about the type of job, the type of clothing that goes with it, and they leave with an outstanding outfit. And I think their face, their demeanor, their confidence changes from the time they arrive at the closet to the time they leave with a quality suit. And that's very, very rewarding.
You mentioned the fact that we are still primarily a first-gen university, which I think is great. I think it is so rewarding.
Absolutely.
To work with students who are the first ones in their family to go to university, and to be able to help them dress the part, you know, to be dressed for success. I think that says a lot, because they may not have any kind of a role model back home that has gone through this kind of thing. And to have your professional advice to basically lend them a hand, you know, give them not a hand out, but a hand up, I guess, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, from a societal impact perspective, that's really one of the things that the clothing closet does so well, is that, you know, in grade school, you're not taught necessarily like what is a professional fit. You know, that's something that you almost have to just figure out, unless you have someone guiding you. And this gives them the opportunity, especially as business professors, right? It's the least that we can do, is make sure that in addition to being, you know, prepared from an educational standpoint, that they're prepared for what is considered professional attire. And so, yes, absolutely. I think that, you know, that kind of goes to the greater mission of making sure our students are prepared when they leave our university and our college in particular, not only from that educational standpoint, but from an overall perspective of being ready to enter the workforce.
Building out a professional wardrobe can require a significant amount of money. Some might view it as an investment, you know, like an investment in their professional lives that can produce a return. Others may just simply see it as the cost of being employed. But after the break, we're going to dive into what it costs to be properly clothed and how the clothing closet provides students with a vital service.
The MBA is the most popular graduate degree in the United States, and with good reason. It leads to better jobs, promotions, and salary increases. At the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, our MBA program is entirely online for when you're ready to make that move. With as few as 31 credit hours and specializations offered in 5 areas, you can fast track your career in as little as 18 months. Whether you're looking for a promotion or initial job placement, you'll stand head and shoulders above the competition. And because we've been teaching online since 1997, we're not the new kids on the block. Trust your education and career to dedicated faculty who are not only experts in their fields, but also old pros in the online arena. Our consistently high rankings say it all. A GMAT waiver is available. We're AACSB accredited and among the most elite of business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT MBA in hand. For more information, find us at wtamu.edu/COB or call 806-651-2500. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we're here to help you reach those stars.
About how many items do you think a graduate needs to have in their wardrobe to begin their career?
So I guess we'll come from two different perspectives. I suppose I'll go first, but I would say that if you have – this is for men, which I think is much simpler, objectively speaking, than it is for women in terms of what is considered a professional attire. But I think if you have two shirts and two slacks, that is an absolute minimum, because you can probably get away throughout the week mixing and matching those to some extent, and hopefully that'll buy you enough time to get a paycheck. And then you can add to the wardrobe. But in a perfect scenario, you know, that's difficult to say, but I would imagine, you know, at least five pairs of slacks and maybe 8 to 10 shirts should get you through the month. And reusing that should be enough to get you pretty far, pending whether or not you need neckties and things like that. But yeah.
And what about for women, Jillian?
You know, I struggle when we talk about being a professional. It's this comprehensive package of the knowledge and your expertise and the way you carry yourself and how you communicate. And I value all of that the highest, but I also know the way you present yourself matters, and it matters to clients and stakeholders alike. And so you have to come to the table in a professional attire. It's part of what we have to do. If I were advising women, depending on the type of industry you're in, I would think I would get 3 solid colored suits that could mix and match. So you could change the blazer with the skirt. Sometimes the suits will come with pants, right? So you then would have pants, skirt, blazer, and I would get solid to begin with, and then switch those around. And I think that would give you enough time. I would want enough shirts or sweaters or things to go under that as well. And I think 1 or 2 pairs of shoes, we're talking about just getting started, could be okay.
Well, the cost of these can be rather high. A men's suit, for example, can easily run $300 to $500 for reasonable quality, but could obviously go far higher than that. And I'm sure it's much the same for women. I mean, it just depends on how fat your wallet is, I guess, right?
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's something we have to do strategically, because as I mentioned, it's part of the comprehensive package that I think your company or your organization's expecting of you to come to work based on what's going on in the organization that day in the appropriate attire. And yeah, some of those suits can run high. And it's something as students, if we could start thinking about it, 18, 19, and you may not be going to, start your professional job till you're 22, 23, start saving. Start thinking a little bit about how you'll build that attire. Do you have family members that can share that might pass clothes down, things like that? But our clothing closet really has some, you know, beautiful clothing. And I think we're very proud that we have the ability to help students begin to build that wardrobe.
I have a son-in-law who is in wealth management as a career, and I've watched him have to build out his wardrobe. And it's multifaceted because some of the clients are real old school, and they expect him to be, you know, nice necktie and jacket and all that. And other instances, just a blazer's fine. But in still other cases, golf course apparel is perfectly okay. And a lot has to do with the age of the client and how much money they got in there too, I guess. But basically, he has had to build a wardrobe with all of those things. not just one of those things. And I can see that getting pretty expensive. And, you know, he's a young man too. He's just like anybody else coming out of here. He's had to put a lot of early income just into clothing. And that's a big burden on some people.
It is. And, you know, one thing I recommend to my students is always look out for the clearance sales that some of these massive department stores have. And so, you know, I like to wear a suit every day that I teach. And a lot of my suits actually come from those clearance sales, believe it or not. I happen to be fortunate in that I'm an off-the-rack size. And so it certainly makes things way less expensive when you don't have to tailor. But I think for most people, you should be able to find a size that looks pretty good. It doesn't have to be a perfect fit like a tailored suit, but the odds are there's a size out there that works for you relatively well. Now that will get you far because people fluctuate in terms of their body weight frequently. And so that size will not always be a perfect fit as when it is when you're tailored in that moment. And so that's okay. And, you know, I think I have found so many suits as cheap as $100, a two-piece suit. Shirts as cheap as $20 to $25. And you just kind of have to know where to look. But one thing that I think is really cool that Dr. Yarbrough and I have begun investing in over the last 10 years or so is whenever we find an insane sale of something that looks, you know, a beautiful suit, for example, a men's Navy suit. And I will never forget, I found them for $80 and one of every size is available. And so I requested funds from the college, and we were able to buy one of every single size, and those suits are there for rent. And so now students are guaranteed to have a Navy suit that should ideally be in their size because we bought one of every size, including the variations, regular, short, and tall, and stack that with one of the several white shirts that we have through donations, and you should be in pretty decent shape. We did the same thing with shoes. We found a nice brown and black shoes for $20 a pair, one of every size from those department store clearances. And we bought a ton of shoes through college requests. And one of the challenges was, you know, what is the standard that we can buy for women? Because for men, it's easy. It's a Navy suit and a white shirt with brown or black shoes. And finally, we found black blazers of every size. And so after a few years, we finally found that sale and we picked those up as well. And again, those are ideally supposed to be down there all the time, such that if a student has something the next day, they can rent these out. We just ask that they dry clean it when they bring it back.
Well, another thing to watch for is off season. Sometimes the winter clothing may be much, you know, a better price in the summer or something like that. So you would buy it in anticipation of wearing it ahead, which isn't, you know, we don't always want to do those types of things because we might change in our size and different things. But as individuals who are preparing for a professional career, thinking ahead of time and looking for sales, maybe buying off season, those types of things can help us save some money.
What about timeless traditions versus something that's fashionable today? What do you recommend for students to buy?
You know, I think there's two styles of faculty that you'll see in the College of Business, right? You'll see the traditional khakis, white shirt, traditional suits with a necktie here and there. And then you'll see some faculty that have more of a modern look. And I think I'm assuming you're going to be hosting Eric Hoffman soon. And so he's one of those who likes to use more of a European look. And I think that if it's appropriate for the workplace and if you can pull it off and that's what you feel comfortable with, then it's probably something that you could manage to pull off as more of a fashionable versus traditional look. But for anybody starting their career, I always recommend going traditional. It's just, you do not have the political capital built up to where you can rock a fashionable look as opposed to something that's timeless.
Well, and something that's fashionable may not be fashionable next year, and you'd like to be able to wear it a while.
Indeed.
And I would recommend timeless in, you know, starting out because we're being economical and thinking carefully and building our professional identity. And if women, we can begin to kind of add in our own flair with accessories. So you could buy just one scarf or one piece of jewelry and pair it with that traditional look, and over time build up your accessories and then go into, you know, the look that you want to have.
We've all been around the block a few times here, so I know we've noticed change through the years in professional attire and so forth. I want to pick your brains on this. What kind of changes you have seen? And I have to recall a story from my MBA days, which is more than 40 years ago, unfortunately. But I do recall interviewing at Indiana U in the School of Business there. We had this massive interview or placement center, I guess, with all these cubbyhole rooms where the companies would come in, and you'd be locked into this little 8x8 room with a company representative. And there was a big lobby or foyer waiting area where the students came in, they checked in, and they all sat there nervously fidgeting. And all the men were in your blue or black suit and the white shirt and a tie. And the ladies back then in the 80s, this was when women were just really beginning to enter the corporate workforce at the same level that men were trying to get jobs in. And they didn't know what to do with women's professional attire back then. I remember seeing the women, basically they had a jacket that looked like it was derivative of a man's jacket, paired with a matching skirt and just a plain Jane blouse. And they all looked really uncomfortable. About as uncomfortable as the guys. Everybody looks stiff because the women had no way of expressing themselves, and the guys are just not used to expressing themselves other than maybe a splashy necktie or something. How have things changed now? Because I don't see women dressed in business today like I did 40 some years ago.
So I started my career in a financial firm. I was a business analyst and an operations manager at different times. And certainly in finance, in Raleigh, North Carolina is where I was, you wore a suit. Everyone was wearing a suit and tie. I'm going to guess that it was a great organization that's still thriving. I'm going to guess the men are still wearing the dark suits. I wore a black suit or a navy suit.
You need water? You know
okay.
How to say water in Hindi.
In what?
Hindi.
No.
Pani.
Pani. I know agua. Know.
Everybody learned today. Huh. That's Spanish, yeah. But now you know two languages.
I would
water.
Like to
Three
I'd like
languages.
To leave this in.
Yeah.
I would like to leave this in. Okay. So every day at work, I certainly wore a black or navy suit. And I would imagine within that industry, in that area, I don't think the clothing will have changed that much. But I think depending on the industry and the clothing, the industry and the organization, I think a lot of places have relaxed. You know, it began, I think, with Casual Friday, right? And then it became kind of Casual Thursday and Friday. And I think in many organizations, nice slacks and a polo for men is everyday okay. And I think women certainly are allowed to wear slacks and sweaters or shirts now, whereas, you know, many years ago, maybe they were more expected to be in business suits.
Yeah, I think, you know, as far as men, not much has changed. Classic navy suit will always be a classic navy suit, but the fit has changed a little bit, right? I think in the 80s and 90s, a little bit baggier. A classic fit is what it was called. And then in the 2000s, 2010 era, it became more of a fitted look. And so you'll see the aesthetic change in that regard. But in terms of the basics, those are universal. I think right now it's high-rise pants, right, where you can see the socks. And that's a fashionable statement that men are making, is they're having different unique socks and stuff. And that's something that's a little bit different than the splashy necktie, right? And so there's still some degree of individuality. But, you know, in the modern workforce, it seems to me that employers are more concerned with performance over arbitrary aesthetics. And if a comfortable employee performs better, then it's probably in your best interest to allow them to be comfortable within reason, right? I'm not saying they can come to work in their pajamas, but if a slacks and a polo is what their preferred fit is and they're highly productive and that's appropriate for the type of industry you're in, then maybe that's not so bad. The other issue you have to look into is the legal side of things, because if you're getting on to someone about what they're wearing, what implications might that have? Is it culturally traditional for them to wear something like that? If you can link it back to freedom of expression in some capacity and you're thwarting that despite not having a company policy explicitly banning it and you're doing it reactively, that could lead to problems. And so I think the world is a little bit of a different place than it was when, like you said, in the 80s, women were just getting into the workplace. It was more rigid hierarchical standard. But now, because of the advent of technology, much of what we could do in the office, we can do at home. And so I think by extension, what's considered professional attire and mandatory professional attire has evolved.
That fitted suit for men that you mentioned, do you think that will linger long enough to become the new traditional, or do you think we'll go on to something else?
You know, I think that people come in so many different shapes and sizes that I think there will always be some degree of variation. And there have always been miscellaneous fads that have tried to make their way into fashion, right? I mean, in the mid-90s, it was like a super, super baggy suit, right? I call it the Magic Johnson suit. And then for a while, they tried to do men's suits, but with shorts. And that looks kind of weird, right? But that was always New York, right? They start these
Bermuda
trends, and it may or may not pick up, but it did not pick up. And so I just don't ever seeing the traditional suit, regardless of the fit, going out of style.
Because those neat fitted suits that we see a lot of today, you got to have a really fit, trim body.
That's right.
Otherwise, you're not going to look good.
Indeed.
Have clothing needs returned to status quo in the post-COVID era? Because we all know what was going on 5 years ago. Pretty much everybody was working remotely. And if you were looking for a job, you were probably going to be working remotely, at least initially. And basically, that meant all you needed was athleisure at best. So was there a dip in the demand for your services, like obviously during COVID, but what about after COVID while there were still a lot of people working from home?
Yeah, I think certainly the demand was not nearly as high, but it never stopped us from continuing to collect donations and hosting our annual or semi-annual giveaway events in which we advertise like, hey, this exists, come drop by during these hours and come get what you want, right? We set up a booth in the JBK food court. We direct them down to the clothing closet, and it tends to be a really successful turnout. But that aspect hasn't changed, though I will say that certainly with return to work mandates, you hear from some of these Fortune 500 companies, and the modern workforce essentially being more of a hybrid where there's some days at home and some days in person as opposed to purely remote. And in the region like a panhandle, our panhandle where, you know, it's not uncommon to still go to work 8 to 5. And that being the standard that I think there has been a bounce back in terms of the need and demand.
And I noticed a lot of students come in for the interview, right? And even if you were going to do a virtual interview based, again, on the industry and the company, but in general, I would put my most professional clothes on, even whether it's face-to-face or virtual interview, again, but aligned with the organization and the industry and their expectations of attire. So I think we continued even through COVID, even if our student, you know, a lot of students come because they have got an interview and they're getting a great suit to help present their outstanding skills, right? And so that continued even through COVID because they were doing virtual interviews.
Now, it's undeniable that we as a culture have become a lot more relaxed and casual and so forth. All we have to do is look at old photos of people on airplanes and trains, and they were dressed up like they were going to a church service or a wedding or a funeral. Everybody. And today we go to the airport, we see people in their jammies getting on a plane. You never would have seen that 50 or 60 years ago. What do you think is going to happen in the future with professional attire? Do you think will stay the course in some sectors with a very traditional approach, or are we all just going to become super casual?
You know, that's a very interesting question, because if you look at an industry like tech, I feel like they're already there, right? It's not typical to see people in the industry to wear a suit and tie anymore. So certainly I think it would depend on the industry, it would depend on leadership. But again, I really think that the world will, especially with the advent of AI, I think that these arbitrary aesthetic preferences and standards will become diminished by the necessity of performance. And so I don't know. But I would like to think that the world would become a little bit more relaxed with regards to mandatory standards of professionalism.
When we come back, we'll look at the future of the clothing closet and how you can be involved.
There's a reason why our programs are rated so highly by independent reviewers. We are committed to continuously improving what we do. Whether it is in the classroom or online, the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business strives to stay ahead of the curve, not behind it. Join us in the classroom or online and see the difference. We're WCSB accredited and among the most elite business schools around the world. Reach for the stars and do it with a WT business degree in hand. For more info, find us online at wtamu.edu/cob or call 806-651-2525. From the Texas Panhandle to the world, we are here to help you reach for those stars.
So how can people become involved with the clothing closet as donors, and what kinds of donations are you accepting?
So, you know, anybody who has any professional clothing that's listening to this podcast, if you've had it been sitting, we had a faculty member who donated a tremendous amount of beautiful clothing, and that is not uncommon where you get really high-end designer brand name clothing. I think our most recent donation was valued at $25,000.
Yes.
That's a single donation, Nick.
Yes.
From a single individual. And so these are not your run-of-the-mill baseline bottom level clothes. It's people that have retired or people who have changed, you know, their body a shape or whatever it may be, lost weight, gained weight. And so at the time they bought really, really nice high-end designer clothes, and that's what they're donating. And so I would encourage anybody, if you have any professional clothing that you no longer intend on wearing or you haven't worn in years, you know, rather than donating it to Goodwill or I suppose selling it, consider the clothing closet. Because we will make sure it goes into, you know, the hands of students that are generally truly in need of these clothing, because like you said, that buying these things new is very expensive, or it can be.
Now, you mentioned Goodwill. Thrifting has become a popular pastime among our students, Gen Zers and the millennials before them. And there are many thrift stores around selling people's either unwanted or unneeded clothing at a variety of price points and quality levels. And the person who is utilizing those stores in many cases gets a portion of the sale price. It's kind of like consignment sales. So why should people donate to the clothing closet instead? I mean, do they get a tax write-off or something?
Yes, I believe we just found out that you know, the Office of Professional Development, they will facilitate the process of a tax write-off. And so it's not without reward in some regard. And I also want to note that the donations we accept, they're not exclusive to private individuals, because in the past we've partnered with dry cleaners, Dillard's, Men's Warehouse. When they have unsold inventory, that's something that they'll sometimes consider us for.
And I've, you know, often when I pick up a donation, it is from people who want students to succeed. And very often they're Buff alumni. But you don't have to be a Buff alumni. But I hear them say, you know, I want these students to be successful. And that's why they donate to us.
Yeah, with true altruistic intentions.
Yeah, yeah.
No tax expectation, no tax write-off expectation has ever been mentioned. If anything, it's something that we offer them, right? Just, and they always turn it down.
How big do you think the clothing closet can get? I mean, can you get another room?
I think right now it was already becoming very unmanageable between just Jillian and I, you know. And again, that's where the Office of Professional Development has become an incredible partner, just handling the day-to-day logistics of accepting donations at a central location, sorting them, maintaining it. And, you know, they really work with the logistics of getting those permanent racks installed. And so I think that I'm sorry, Nick, I forgot the question.
How big can the clothing closet get?
I think that it's at an excellent level as is, where we can still maintain the degree of individual attention we can provide students and maintain the inventory. Any larger than this would require more logistical planning, potentially even more staff.
So we shouldn't expect like two Dillards.
Probably not. Probably not. Unless the chancellor hears this podcast and decides to double down on their donation on, you know, a decade ago.
Do you have any special events coming up that students or potential donors need to be aware of?
Yes. I think what we aim to do is before the Career Expo, which is once a semester. We fluctuate whether or not we do it in the spring or the fall, but we try to do a professional clothing closet giveaway event, or try to host that event the week of the career fair, earlier in the week. So, because we know a lot of students will be attending and we want them to look at their best, because this could lead to an internship or a job. And so the week of those career expos, we try to do a giveaway event. And so our next one, you can anticipate probably February.
Is the clothing closet unique to the Engler College of Business and more broadly WT? Or do you know of any other schools running similar programs? Obviously, the chancellor was impressed enough a decade ago to give some funding for it, but are other schools doing this?
You know, when we started, the answer was definitively no. But I think some schools have tried to mimic it. I don't know what their success was or whether it kicked off and whether they're still being maintained. But as far as I'm aware, this is the only one that's been active at the very least for as long as we have.
Any other plans for the future? I mean, this is such an affirming project for our college to support. And I am just blown away because I learned a lot today from you guys that I did not know about the beauty of this program. What's next?
I think, you know, the cool thing about this mission is it is perpetual, right? Like, even if we changed nothing, the mission would still be complete every semester with every student that we connect with. And so I don't think we have any grand plans for expansion or evolution. I think our goal is to ensure that students always have a hub with which they can acquire professional clothing for them as on demand as possible.
I think it's one of the things I'm most proud of. There's a lot to be proud of in the Engler, you know, College of Business. There's a lot to be proud of. But I am proud of this project and our clothing closet for several reasons. One, there are people giving to WT, and that's an that's fun and exciting and meaningful that they want to give back to West Texas A&M. And then, as I mentioned, I enjoy seeing the students leave with a great outfit and great confidence. And I do think we're right at a good balance. The amount of clothing that we're receiving and the amount of need, we're at a very good balance.
My guests today have been Dr. Raul Chauhan and Dr. Jillian Yarbrough, my colleagues here in the Engler College of Business, and the driving force behind the clothing closet that SHRM provides for our students. On behalf of the many students you serve, I thank you for what you do. They and you all wear it well.
Much appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you.
Fade to black. Roll credits. You've been listening to Buff Speak from the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University. Our executive producer is Justin Lovell, and Allison Hunter is our associate producer. Our co-editors are Maverick Evans and Paul Torres. Lindsay Bjork is our director of marketing and outreach initiatives, which includes overseeing Buff Speak. Dr. Jeffrey Babb is director of accreditation and is our technical consultant.
Finally, Dr. Amjad Abdelat is dean of the college. You can find us online at wtamu.edu/COB for more information about our programs. Be sure to check out our many academic offerings. Come for the quality, stay for the small classes, affordable tuition, and friendly, approachable professors. And look online at our faculty blog, profspeak.com, for more insights. You can listen to BuffSpeak on your favorite podcast portal, as well as on our website, buffspeak.biz. And if you like what you've been hearing, don't be afraid to share us with your friends, colleagues, and family. Word of mouth has always been the best form of advertising. Until next time, love one another. For the Paul and Virginia Engler College of Business at West Texas A&M University, I am Dr. Nick Gerlich. And as always, go Buffs! BuffSpeak.